Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Very complicated parable indeed, especially the fact that Jesus says to this man that he did the right thing, though he was definitely dishonest. But the parable is really symbolic of our life in a broad stroke in this regard. Every single one of us will eventually have to give an account for his life or her life. Years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Susie Orman. This was like 25 years ago before she was really Susie Orman. No one really knew who she was. She had just come out with her first book. And she had a tagline. I think she still has it today, though I haven't seen her. And the tagline goes like this: people first, then money, then things. And she usually ends her broadcast by using those three words. And it really is a reframe. It really helps her audience know what she's all about, that people should come first. Money shouldn't come first. People should come first. Then money, and then after people comes things. Well, Jesus in the gospel has a different reframe, much different from Susie Orman's. What can we learn from this morning's gospel? Well, for the young children that are just joining us in confirmation, I figured I would spell out the 3 points so they can have it down. So there are 3 points this morning. Number one, for adults and children. Number one, make friends. That's the first point. Number two, be faithful. And number three, serve God. Pretty easy to remember. In the parable, there's this manager that's not managing the affairs correctly. So the boss calls him in and says, listen, you're not doing the right thing. I'm going to have to get rid of you. I'm going to have to fire you. So he thinks to himself, well, I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to dig holes. I know exactly what I'll do. He was very shrewd. He made decisions quickly because the children of this world, they have a way of knowing exactly what to do when things go wrong. So he was able to think quick on his feet, so he would go to these debtors, and he would say to them, how much do you owe my master? And they'd say, I owe this much. He said, great, sit down quickly and write half of that and just give it to me. And he would do this with those debtors. And why did he do it? Well, he was very wise and very shrewd because he knew two things. Number one, it would make his boss look good, right? Because it would make him to look to be someone who was generous. Because if you owed this much and someone cut your debt in half, you would be happy towards that person. You would have good feelings towards that person. And it also indebted these people towards him so that when he lost his job, which would happen in a week or so, he could go to these people as friends and they would receive him. They would take care of him. Maybe even ask him to stay with them. So he's very shrewd, very, very wise. So Jesus commends him, says, good job, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But the parable isn't about us modeling every single detail. God is not telling us to be wise or shrewd the way of this world. He's certainly not telling us to be dishonest. Rather, what he is getting across to us is our relationship to money. Now, I had the opportunity this morning to either talk about women in the church or money. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to talk about money. Because I looked at the epistle and I thought, I am not going to win friends if I talk about women. And I don't know anything about women, so that's another problem. So I'm going to talk about money. The parable has to do with our relationship with money. Now, what I love about this parable and what I love about the parable that's coming up next week, and I hope that you'll be here, is because this applies to everyone. You know, a lot of times when a person is sick and they come to church and they hear a sermon about sickness and healing, it applies to them and they go, okay, this is for me. Or if you're going through a trial and the sermon is talking about Job, then you think it's about you, you know? This applies to every single one of us. There's not one, maybe children doesn't apply to, but most of us this applies because every single one of us has to deal with the relationship of money because we're all dealing with money. So what is the first thing that Jesus drives home? It's kind of radical, but he says this. Use worldly wealth to make friends for yourself so that when it fails you, you will be entered into or welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, I got to tell you, for being a Lutheran, this is a really strange passage. Because if you just look at it at face value, it gives you the impression that if you give to the poor, if you help people out, you're buying your way to heaven. I think there are two extremes. The first extreme is to read this and think that if we give money, if we give our tithes, if we give our offering, if we give alms, if we help the poor, if we help missionaries, then we are buying our way into heaven. I don't think Jesus is saying that. The other extreme is to think that we shouldn't do anything. And I think that might be the extreme that most of us fall into. It's the extreme that says, it's mine and I worked for it and I'm saved by grace and I really don't have to do anything. Well, that's cheap grace. Jesus says, where your heart is, that is where your treasure will be. And what he's saying here is what Amos is saying in the Old Testament. We should take care of other people. We've been blessed beyond measure. Most of us have disposable income, even though things have not been the same since 9/11. Things have not been the same in the last 15 years. Nevertheless, many of us do have disposable income. And what he's saying here is that we should use money. Because if we don't use money, money will use you. If we don't master money, money will master us. In other words, we'll worry about money. We'll wonder where it's going to come from. But what Jesus is saying is take worldly wealth and use it. Give it to the poor. Give it to the church. Give it to missionaries. Give it away, because in the process of giving it away, you will be storing up riches in heaven. Jesus says this in Matthew. Don't worry about building a treasure here where moths can come in, where rust can destroy, where even thieves can come in to steal, but rather give so that your treasure is in heaven. Next month, I have a friend of mine, his name is Stephen, and I say it lightly because I haven't seen him in about 20 years. We went to seminary together, and he called me up about 2 months ago, and he says, hey, Greg, can I come and tell you about what I'm doing? And I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to be a missionary to China. First thing, I got right to the point. I said, so you need money? He goes, yeah, I do need money. I said, well, let's see what we can do. Let's talk it about, and let's see if this is something we want to do. So I think next month, around the 16th to 17th of October, Stephen's going to be preaching, and he gave up everything. He sold everything. Can you imagine? Sold everything he had, and he's going to China to be a missionary. Maybe, just maybe, you feel that you want to help him. Maybe not. Maybe you want to do something else. Maybe you want to do something for the school. Maybe you want to do something for the poor. Maybe you want to do something for the church. But what Jesus is helping us to see is that we have been given possessions, and we really don't own them. We really don't. All we are stewards. Because eventually we're going to have to give it all away anyway, right? So why not use it to the glory of God? And so the first point is this: make friends. And how do we do that? We use worldly wealth to make friends for ourselves so that when it's all gone, when we take our last breath, we will enter into eternal dwellings. Because we have faith, because we've repented from this world which focuses on wealth and what we can obtain. That's not the way of the Christian. We recognize that we're only pilgrims. We're not here forever. We're not. The second point is this: to be faithful. How are we to be faithful? Well, Jesus says it this way. And I'm really going to say this because I want you to think about this. If you can't be faithful in little things, how in the world could you be faithful with greater things? And I thought this week, how could I come up with an illustration that would drive this home and you would think about it for days? Well, let's say a church was looking for a treasurer. Now, we have a treasurer. We're not looking for a treasurer. But let's say there was a parish down the street that was looking for a treasurer. And they had two candidates. And one candidate balanced their budget. They didn't spend outside of their means. They didn't have a lot of debt. And they really were good with money in their personal life. In their personal life. The other person, not so much. They never balanced their checking account. They never kept tabs of what they were spending. They were in debt. They were spending more than they were making, and they were bouncing checks. Now, if you had to hire or you had to place one of these treasurers in office, it would be simple, wouldn't it? Because if the person over here couldn't balance their own checking account, you certainly wouldn't want them handling the checking account of the church. Right? You wouldn't. Jesus is saying, if we can't handle earthly wealth, which is temporary, why should he entrust us with real spiritual wealth? And I thought, wow, this is powerful. This has an impact in how we spend our money, how we look at our checking account, how we look at our finances. Here's another one for you. If you had two candidates running to be president of the United States, and one of them wasn't handling their affairs very well, the other one wasn't handling his or her affairs very well, who would you vote for? I mean, think about it. The rubber meets the road when we think about these. You know, it makes sense. Hey, if this person isn't handling his or her affairs properly, why would we want them to be the leader of the United States? Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but just think. Now, here's another one. I'll even drive it deeper. You're all looking to call a pastor. So if you're on the call committee, and I think it's down to two people, but if you're on the call committee, you're going to ask questions about theology, you're going to ask questions about practice, women in the church. Would you ever think about asking a pastor to hand over his financials? Never. You would never do that. It's never been a practice. But if the pastor's in debt and he doesn't give to the church and he doesn't know how to handle his finances, would you want him to be the pastor of a church? I bet you never thought about that. But Jesus is saying the same thing. If we can't handle earthly wealth, which is just temporary, why would anybody trust us with greater wealth? And the last one is to serve God. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. There are people in the world that they believe that wealth is everything. They believe that they can really have a certain foundation of wealth and finances, they will be happy. That they will be secure in this uncertain world. That if they can just get enough resources, they'll be okay. Jesus says it really quick, and he gets right to the point. He says, you can't serve two masters. And really, this is the point of Jesus' sermon. You're either going to love one and you're going to despise the other. You can't have two masters. So what he's calling us to do is to repent from idolatry. Really. And I think all of us have been guilty one time or another of idolatry. Of thinking that what we have is ours, and also thinking that money will give us security. And it doesn't. And so we have the opportunity this morning to really examine our lives, to examine our checking account, to examine our relationship with money, and recognizing that we should repent. That we should repent, ask God to forgive us, and also ask God to use us to be a vehicle of his mercy. That's what it's all about. Susan Orman would say these three words. She would say, people first, then money, then things. I think if Jesus Christ were here today, he would say God first, wouldn't he? He would say God first, then people, then money. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please